Statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Mark, you ready?
Sure am, Gary.
Robert and Brett, you guys ready?
Ready.
Turn it on. Let's go.
Call in now to be heard live on the Clean and Sober Radio Show at 888-329-3306. That's 888-329-3306.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Clean and Sober Radio on WWDB AM 860 out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm Gary Hendler, along with my co-host Mark Sigmund. We got a great show lined up, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do. It's one of our favorite guests, Gary.
Absolute favorite guest.
Thank God we don't need his services.
Well, there were times when I did.
Yes, there were.
Anyway,
and a couple other lawyers probably, too.
So we're talking about, and we'll get to him, criminal defense attorney Zachary Cooper, who, I mean, he can tell a story, but mainly I think that he defends DUI and DWI cases in
and
court.
And knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff. All right, before we get to Zach, let me just tell you a little bit about Clean and Sober Radio. We are a nonprofit 501c3. That means we rely heavily on corporate and private donations. If you go to our website, cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com, you can see the shows we've had. You can watch them. You can listen to them. You can see the events coming up. And also we have that PayPal button, which is very important.
Extremely important.
And we need that to raise money. Please go on our website, Clean and Sober Broadcasting, and make a donation. If you like the show, and I guess you wouldn't be watching if you didn't like it, please make a donation. Whatever you can give, we'd really appreciate it. Also, our phone number in the studio is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. And starting next week, you'll be able, our viewers will be able to watch us on our Facebook page, which is Clean and Sober. What is it?
Clean and Sober.
Clean and Sober Radio.
Clean and Sober Radio.
Clean and Sober Radio. Clean. So we're going to switch from my name to Clean and Sober Radio, which is more appropriate. So we'll keep announcing it, and, you know, it'll be cool, totally cool. So what's new with you, Mark?
Not much. You know, it's Shark Week, Gary, on Discovery Channel. I know you're tuning in a lot. You know, I know you're tuning in. Some great whites off of Margate, I'm hearing.
Lots of rights, as long as they're not in Ventnor.
Ventnor. They're off Ventnor.
Let me tell you something. If you go in that water in South Jersey, you are taking an incredibly large risk, because there is a pier there, Ventnor Pier, where the fishermen go. 3 weeks ago, three kids caught a 9-foot brown, okay? Now, that's not the kind that you pet. That will rip you to shreds.
Yeah, when was the last time you went in the ocean? I'm talking
really
in the ocean, like up to your neck.
Yeah. I got sober 37 years ago, right before that. As soon as I got sober, I knew what the deal was.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
You know?
It's been a long time.
Don't go in.
Don't go in the water.
And you know what? And don't go in and watch why sharks attack, and then you'll get a better understanding of where I'm coming from.
Yeah, just don't go in on a surfboard, because then you look like a seal.
That's right.
You know, and I was saying, I could see Gary, he hasn't gone in so long. The one time he does go in the water, a freaking shark shows up. I could see it. Couldn't you, Zach?
I could, and I love Shark Week. I love
Zach, you
shark
like watching
week.
That?
I watch every show.
That's right.
Yeah. And now Gary's scaring me, because I'm in the ocean every weekend with my kids. Like
In Margate.
Right. So I'm hoping they don't come over tomorrow.
They're in Margate.
I know.
Okay. You know, let me tell you something. You know how long it takes a great white to get from Cape May, which they spotted last week, to Margate?
I know.
Oh, about 20 minutes.
I know. And when you see these sharks on Shark Week, it is unbelievable. I mean, these things are massive.
Killers.
I mean, you have no shot. I mean, you're in their world.
This is what you do. If you are attacked, you poke them in the eyes.
Yes.
And they will release you.
I don't know if that's true. Well, there's a slight problem with that, Gary. Their eyes roll back.
I know.
Yeah. You know, I heard you punch him in the nose, but I don't
know.
That's
what I heard.
Or you grab him in the nose.
Listen, at that point, you know, it's actually like a relief, but they'll only have to release half of you because the rest of it will be in their stomach. Okay.
It's done.
All right. Okay.
Where were we?
This is the joys of recovery. You know ADD. What's right. You know what's wrong.
ADD.
All right. So, just a quick couple things. I had a great meeting at Jefferson Hospital and the University on Monday, and they do dig the show, and we're going to do some things together. Some
incredible things. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. They have a program at Jeff that is specifically designed for pregnant women who are addicted to opioids.
It's a methadone.
Yeah. And that's really
– Yeah.
That's pretty cool. They're very they're ahead of their times. Steve Clasco, who's the CEO of Jefferson – can see into the future like nobody else can. So we're excited about the possibilities of us joining together, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, and that their program, the reputation of that precedes it. And I've had cases where, you know, you have a mother coming in and she's hooked on opiates, and believe it or not, that is the course of treatment that's recommended, because if you try to detox somebody or something, you're risking a miscarriage. And they have a great, fantastic program. I've heard about it over the years. Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's who I think of if I get somebody that's pregnant, I think of Jeff's program.
We had all the department heads at Jeff.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a great hospital.
Great, great hospital. Here's a headline in the Daily News today. Hospitals, opioid crisis remains top health priority in our hospitals, in our cities. Addressing substance use and the opioid crisis is the top health priority for the Philadelphia region. A coalition of nonprofit hospitals determined in a wide-ranging report on the area's health released this week. By the way, in 2 weeks, we're going to have Roland Lamb on. He's the deputy commissioner for the health department of Philadelphia. He'll be in the studio.
That's awesome. And to give you an idea of how bad the crisis is in Philadelphia, the Starbucks in certain locations have started putting blue light bulbs in the bathroom because people can't see veins to shoot up. And they've also put needle things, collection containers in all the bathrooms.
You know, I want to tell you something. You know, a couple weeks ago, a month ago, I thought that the clean injection site thing was almost dead. But it seems like a lot of the district attorneys in the major cities across the country are now pushing for Philadelphia to start the program.
And you know, it's funny. I've been thinking about this topic a lot, and I'm still kind of split.
Me too.
I'm split, and here's the thing. I mean, I definitely think that it's the direction we have to move as a country. It's more of a harm reduction, et cetera, to save lives. But one of my fears is it's so bad down there in Kensington, and it's got such a reputation of the heroin. One of my fears is that if it would feed into it, you know, you get more people coming from the suburbs saying, well, I'm going to try shooting up because it's safe. And then of course they're shooting up at other times when it's not safe. And so it's just, my head's boggled by this. I think that in the long run, but I don't know that right there is the best spot to just put our experiment.
Well, let me ask you this. Think of this. I've thought about this a lot also. I think the perception is there's going to be a building on the other side of the sidewalk, and you're going to win there. If they would build something or a warehouse that is way off the street with security, gates and everything, people would be able to go in to this place, do what they have to do, and leave. It wouldn't be just like you're walking off the street into a building.
Now, here's the thing with that. I've actually talked to a bunch of addicts about this very topic, and they actually, most of them have been against it because they said they wouldn't use it. I mean, a lot of times somebody's getting the dope and they need to do it right away, right? They don't want to go and wait and the whole bit. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I know we got to do some changes and we need to move in this direction. I just don't know.
I agree. I don't think
you're in the same boat, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I certainly am. Zachary Cooper, is the man. A criminal defense attorney in Pennsylvania. Is it Pennsylvania anywhere else?
I'm barred in Pennsylvania and Jersey, but
You're barred?
I can practice in both states.
I thought you weren't allowed in either when you said you were barred.
Oh, no. I'm barred. That's, you know what I mean.
What state, Zach?
Pennsylvania and Jersey, but I don't practice in Jersey much at all.
Okay, so Zach is an incredible attorney. He specializes. I mean, he really knows his stuff. Hey, man, welcome to the show once again.
Thank you for having me back.
We're happy to have you. And how long have you been practicing law, Zach?
So I graduated, 2000. I've been practicing now close to 18 years. Wow.
I knew you when you were a little boy.
I know you did. I know you did.
Little boy.
I know you did.
All right. So where'd you go to law school?
Widener Law in Delaware.
Okay. And when you left, I'm just trying to get a timeline.
Yeah.
After Widener, did you go with the district attorney's office or did you go into private practice?
I went into private practice because there was not a spot for me at the district attorney's office yet. So the minute there was a spot at the prosecutor's office, I jumped ship, and I was at the prosecutor's office for about 4 years.
How was that experience?
Good. Awesome. That was awesome. I was under, who was the DA then? Bruce Castor.
Oh, Bruce.
Uh-huh. Bruce Castor. Risa was there,
yeah.
But she was like first assistant. Kevin Steele was there. They were all there. And I stayed there for 4 years. I mean, that was awesome experience.
Is Kevin? I had breakfast with Kevin last Friday. Is he the greatest?
He is awesome.
He's awesome.
Him and I have always gotten along. In fact, my last trial when I was in the prosecutor's office, Kevin and I were both, we were co-chairs. It was a big, big murder case in Conshohocken. And we tried that together.
Which case was it, may I ask you?
It was all over the news. It was called the Black Widow case. It was on national news.
I think I heard about that.
It was a murder in David's Bridal in Conshohocken.
My wife worked there.
It was a murder in David's Bridal.
Yeah.
It made national news.
Yeah.
It was a 2-week-long case, and it was crazy.
David's Bridal. Was it somebody getting married? Oh, it was there.
I know exactly where it is, man.
It's right warehouse. Near the train station. And it was just a crazy case. They took it to trial, and it was a big shot attorney from Philadelphia that came in, Tariq El Shabazz, and he was found guilty. But it was, Kevin is one of the best guys in that office.
He's a great guy.
He's awesome.
What is the difference between a DUI charge and a DWI charge?
I mean, they're really somatic. I mean, a DUI is driving under the influence. DWI is driving, while impaired or, under the influence of any drugs or anything like that. But the penalties for really each one of them can be very similar or the same, depending on if there's drugs or alcohol in your system. Now, nowadays, and I know we're going to get into this, it's funny because not funny, but, it used to be a ton of alcohol. Now, almost every one of the cases I get, almost every one of them, there's a component to drugs, whether they're prescription drugs that people are abusing or opioid. I mean, I hate to say this, but I've never had this in my. This past month, I had two clients kill themselves.
This past month. Kill themselves? How? What do you mean?
I don't know the whole. All I know is the parents called me. We were in the middle of their cases, and the mother called me, and she was crying hysterically on the phone. She said, such and such is no longer with us. She committed suicide. And I got the death certificates. I had to bring them into the court.
Is this a result?
Two clients.
Were they anticipating a jail sentence?
It could be. I mean, what's funny? Because what you're saying right now, my mind was spinning. I'm like, what were they doing? I was, everything. I think that some of the jail sentence might have scared them. I will say that both cases involve some component of drugs. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if it was an overdose, if they started using again. One girl went to Tennessee and did over 90 plus days of inpatient treatment. She wasn't going to do any jail time at all. So, I mean, stuff like that shocks me. And it was just, that was hard to hear.
And it's, Zach, as you talk about it, I had a really good friend of mine actually commit suicide. And it was on the day before his preliminary hearing for his third DUI. And it's like the penalties these days are so strong.
They're so strong. And Pennsylvania is by far one of the strictest states when it comes to DUIs. You know, just recently, less than a year ago, they implemented a third offense DUI. Now is considered a felony, which almost every state in the country has nothing like that. But a third offense DUI now is a felony, which is up there with some of the worst crimes you can think of.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to take our first break. We'll be back with attorney Zach Cooper. Our phone number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Governor Tom Wolf. Thousands of families across Pennsylvania have been affected by the opioid epidemic. Together, we can fight this disease. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, help is available. Visit pa.gov/opioids for resources and information on substance abuse. For treatment options, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Brought to you by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Tom Wolf, Governor. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
When you've had enough of the lies and the loss of control, when you're ready to beat your addiction without shame or self-doubt, when you're ready to begin again and go it together, Live and Grin Addiction Treatment is here for you, building recovery together since 1966. Go to liveandgrin.org or call 1-800-245-4746. Go it together.
Hi, this is Bobby Rydell, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
Hi, this is David Ossikinen, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio on WWDB.
Driving that train, high on cocaine. Casey Jones, you better watch your speed. Trouble.
You know, the funny thing with that song is, before we went on the air, we were talking about your slight anxiety about taking the train
into the city. And, you know, an interesting thing about that song is in the Dead's later years, they actually stopped saying the cocaine part in that song. They would change it a little bit. I'm not sure.
It was either that or high on octane.
I don't know. But, you know, they had a lot of problems with that drug over the years. And we're just playing the tape to the end, but good tune.
Absolutely. Zach, so the laws are getting tougher now, right?
Yeah, they're getting much tougher. You know, you have organizations, and they play a big part, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, a lot of them. And you know, it's money for the, you know, Turnpike and State Police and all that. So, you know, years ago, if you remember, the blood alcohol level was a 0.10. Now, every state in the country is a 0.08, except now there's, you know, some that are going to a 0.05. Pennsylvania looked into that as well. 0.05.
Do you think it's money?
I think that
it has a part of that.
I think money definitely has a part of that when you talk about these, you know, politicians and constituents and, you know, they want to get reelected and Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it definitely plays a part of that, and the money that goes towards the roads that I'm hearing in order to get that money and Mothers Against Drunk Driving, you know, they're a big, big group, and they're always involved in stuff like that. But to answer your question, the Pennsylvania DUI laws are getting, you know, progressively tougher. Like I said, the felony for a third offense DUI, they made it harder now, which to many regards is better. They're now making you install ignition interlocks in your car. I know that I've had that discussion with Gary, but, you know, the ignition interlock is, it's good and bad. I can tell you one thing, for anybody that's attempted to put one in their car and get it out, the process is horrible. I mean, it's not a cut and dry process.
Can I tell you something? I'm going through it right now with a family member. I'm lucky I'm friendly with someone way up in PennDOT.
You have to be.
It is a nightmare.
It is. He's right. It's a nightmare. But now, and this was never the case, it's mandatory. So
for a first
offense DUI, okay, it's now mandatory, obviously, for a second or third. For a refusal, if you refuse the blood test, it's now mandatory that you put that in your car.
For a year, correct?
For a year. Now, the plus is, this is the way PennDOT looks at it, the plus is you can actually drive sooner. So for a first offense DUI, the old law was you couldn't drive for a year.
Yeah.
Now, if you put it in your car, you can drive right away, as long as it's in your car for a first offense.
Usually takes about 20 days or something like that.
Yeah, it takes about 20 days. If you know someone, you know, we know someone at PennDOT, you got to get that pushed through, or else you could sit on it forever.
And it's right away. So they don't, some of these guys that get their first offense don't get any suspension, license suspension at all when they have this?
There is a suspension, but you can drive with the occupational, limited.
To work.
Well, no, you can drive with the interlock. You can drive anywhere.
Anywhere.
But the interlock goes in your car. You have to keep it in there for a year. But I've had clients call me, I kid you not, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. They got to go to work. Zach, I'm blowing in this device, and my car won't start. I have nothing in my system. So there's faults to it.
Well, a lot of times they don't think so, but if they had mouthwash.
Mouthwash, correct.
Wash your hands with that alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's not perfect, but.
Now they have. Well, so I work with a couple companies that put them in, but now most, if all of the companies have cameras, because before the cameras, people were like, oh, I'll just have my 15-year-old son blow into this thing. My car will start. So now they have the cameras to,
Not in Pennsylvania, though. I don't think you need it in Pennsylvania.
Well, you don't. No, it's not that you need it, but some of the places, like, for instance, like Smart Start, they're a big company. They actually have a camera that is installed in your car. So it's. I think the laws are going to get worse. I really do. We can get into it in a little bit, but now, with the whole, eventually the passage of not just medical marijuana, but once it's legalized, that's going to be a completely different ballgame. They got to change the law. Because right now, any marijuana pretty much in your system, you're going to get a DUI in Pennsylvania. We've talked about this before. And if that's going to pass and it's going to become legalized and people are going to, be using marijuana like normal on a daily basis, like in Colorado, they have to change the DUI law to reflect that.
And there's no equipment, as I understand it yet, Zach, that can determine. It's really by blood if we're talking about marijuana.
Correct.
Right?
There's no interlock. There's no device or anything that's going to detect that. So I get that all the time. I get people that get DUIs with only marijuana in their system. And I say, well, you got to put this interlock in your car. And they're like, for what? I don't drink. And they don't care. You mean they still have to put this in their car. But guess what? They could smoke until they're, as high as a kite and their car will still start.
So even if somebody's certified under the state, like they could, they're using it for medical purposes and they go drive, they're not high or anything, but it's still in their system. They could still get a DUI.
I have a couple of them right now. So when you smoke for medical purposes, or
you better have your card with you.
You have to have your card with you, but there's still THC in that. Still. So you got to be really careful. I have a couple cases right now where I'm trying to get the case thrown out with showing that they're taking it within therapeutic levels where they were supposed to be. They're showing me their card, but the problem is nothing's written in the law that says, you can drive with it. So you have to have the right situation, the right prosecutor.
So, Zachary, there's no actual levels now if you're above a certain level smoking marijuana.
So marijuana right now, basically they come out with a report. It could be every couple months that shows the levels that you can have.
Yeah.
So marijuana, which is measured per nanograms per milliliter, it's pretty much anything above 1 nanogram per milliliter.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It's nothing.
A puff?
It's nothing. I mean, it's nothing at all. You could maybe get that, maybe with a puff or, maybe a little bit more than that. But the problem is marijuana, as you know, stays in your system for 30 days or more. So, there's inactive, for instance, there's the carboxy, which is in marijuana too, which studies have shows no impairment whatsoever. Those cases, if it's just carboxy, we can get tossed out almost immediately because, if it's just THC carboxy, it doesn't have any impairment abilities at all.
Zach, do you have any cases? I know it's mainly in automobiles. Somebody goes for a job and they're tested. Well, can they detect THC?
Well, yeah, they just give a urine test.
So then what happens? Can you defend something like that?
So I've actually been involved in a couple cases where, and it was just like I was talking to you, somebody was applying for a job, and it did come back. The carboxy came back, but it was from weeks and weeks ago. Now, in a case like that, if you really want to fight it, you're going to have to get a toxicologist. You're going to have to actually hire experts to show, here, we're going to analyze the, what you have from his employment and show that this was not smoked anytime recently or anything like that.
Man, this is, this is so complicated.
It is.
And I don't know where this is going, Maybe you just shouldn't smoke marijuana.
Well, this is what I tell my clients. I mean, I compare it a little bit to alcohol. Even when marijuana is going to be legalized, it still doesn't give people the right to drive a car, because studies have shown that marijuana does cause impairment. Mm-hmm. All the studies agree on that. So the problem is, what are these laws going to do? They're going to have to raise the level of what is appropriate for someone to be able to drive with marijuana.
But even if it stays in your system for 30 days, in 6 days or 4 days, there's no impairment, but it's still going to show that
It's still going to show. That's why they got to change the law. They got to change something, because, I mean...
Well, how's the legal... How are the judges and the prosecutors dealing with it now?
With what, marijuana?
Yeah.
Just in general?
Yeah. I mean,
they're still prosecuting them.
I'm talking about being pulled over. I get pulled over in a car, whether I have a card with me or not. They see a vape thing there, and there.
It depends on the prosecutor. Every place is doing it differently. I have gotten a couple cases thrown out where someone can show that they were smoking the medical marijuana legally, and that's the only thing in their system. And we even get a note letter from their doctor to show that they're taking it within therapeutic levels.
But they're still impaired.
That's why I'm saying it's a case by case basis. It doesn't happen every time. You could get a DA's. I could tell you right now, Montgomery County is very tough with it. You know, there's until they pass something that shows a case, there's no Supreme Court case that right now, which is what we go by, that says if you're driving and you have medical marijuana in your system, you're okay.
Yeah.
And until the Supreme Court passes a case like that, you know, they're going to prosecute these cases. So people think that they have a free card to smoke marijuana medically, and it's not true.
Do people understand if you have the medical marijuana card and you can smoke it, you also, but you're not supposed to drink also.
That's
right.
You are correct. You know, and I get that a lot.
I'm sure.
I get everything. That a lot. People come to my office and they're like, well, I have a medical marijuana card. And then I look at their blood alcohol level, which is like a 0.23. I'm like, you are correct. They think that they can do everything because they have that magic card.
Right, right.
But that's not the case.
And you really need to carry that card, isn't that correct?
You have to.
And also, I mean, I'm really not well versed because I haven't smoked in 40 years, but you can get different levels of medical marijuana, different levels of THC.
Oh yeah.
And one of the other things about it is, so you have somebody that's using medical marijuana, they're using it daily for medical purposes, those levels are going to come back high.
Correct.
Because it's going to build up over time, because it's not very water soluble.
The more you smoke, the levels are going to potentially rise. More importantly, like Gary said, there's different level. There's different drugs out there. There's different types of marijuana. So there's different potencies. There's different stuff. You don't know. Now, I'm very upfront with my clients. I can almost tell. If someone is a regular smoker, I say, how much do you smoke? And he's like, every day. Well, their levels not only are going to be, you know, significantly higher, but they're going to stay there for, like you said, for a significant long, because they're going to be at maybe 5, 6, 7 nanograms.
Why is there THC in medical marijuana? How come it's just not CBD? I mean,
well, you know, there's some people, you know, say that just the CBD alone doesn't have the same therapeutic effect. But you get a lot of
I think people want, like, the THC.
I just had somebody come in with a card that was he was doing something like a 10-to-1 CBD to THC level.
I just saw, I mean, maybe I just read, I mean, if I read, it was this week, that they're going to start allowing medical marijuana for anxiety.
We just talked about
anxiety,
that
anxiety and Tourette's was passed last week.
Well, okay. A lot of my clients have anxiety. I mean,
everybody has it. Yeah.
I mean, in one way or another, so.
Look, I got to tell you something. I'm going to say, I don't care. Rachel Levine, who is the Surgeon General of Pennsylvania, I think she's clueless. Look, when I was up there, I had said to her, when opioids were on the list of eligibility for medical marijuana, I said, why is this on? There's no research. She said, if I don't put it on, there'll be no research. Isn't that backwards?
Well,
she didn't want to talk about it.
And the dangerous thing is, especially with opiates, I mean, you can understand it with sometimes for pain, they're using it instead and they're not using opiates. That's a positive thing, right? But to put it on the list specifically for opiate addiction without any studies is very dangerous. Because, you know, as a clinician, you see it. You know, somebody, it's just not enough. They go, they smoke pot, and then they want to do their drug of choice. And to have that on the list with...
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, it's funny. As a clinician, you can attest to this. I have a lot of clients that start off with marijuana. And you know, I can see how that's a gateway drug to so many other drugs. And they're like, oh, it's just marijuana. Well, you know what? I mean, I've unfortunately seen, you know, clients with any drugs that are out there. That's what I see every single day. Like I said, I see alcohol, but these drugs are everywhere now. And almost every one of my clients has some type of drug in their system, whether it's heroin, cocaine, marijuana, you know, pills that they're popping, that they're getting from friends. They never have a script for them. I say, if you have a script, we can do something with it. Nah, I don't have a script.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. All right, we got to take another break. You're listening to WWDB AM 860 Clean and Sober Radio, and we will be right back.
When you've had enough of the lies and the loss of control, when you're ready to beat your addiction without shame or self-doubt, when you're ready to begin again and go it together, Live and Grin Addiction Treatment is here for you. Building recovery together since 1966. Go to liveandgrin.org or call 1-800-245-4746. Go it together.
Can I go to the sleepover?
Lucy, I want you to promise me something. If there's any drinking, I want you to say, no thanks, not my thing.
Mom!
I promise you, your real friends won't care. Deal?
I promise, Mom.
They really do hear you.
Did you pack your toothbrush?
For tips on how to start the talk, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. A public service message from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration.
Hey, this is Daryl Strawberry, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, this is Willie Potts, and I listen to the Clean and Sober Show on WWDB 860 AM.
That one day at a time.
What? One day at a time?
Yeah. Oh,
absolutely. It's probably one of the most important things in recovery, don't you think?
I do. I agree.
Staying in the moment, staying one day at a time.
It's not always easy.
It's not easy, especially when you have like events to go to and all that.
Charges,
where you're looking at,
or you have charges.
Charges. Oh my
Listen,
gosh. There's
was,
nothing worse than
I
waiting
was sober
for court.
For 2 years and had a RICO statute against me in 1984.
Don't you wish Judge Duffy was around back then? She would have let you go.
Sure she would have.
She would have let you.
She told us she would have.
She always.
She is great, man.
She
no,
really
I don't
is.
Guess what? No, I don't think she would have let me go.
I don't think she would probably. You and I would get hammered by her,
I will say one thing about Judge Duffy.
She likes you, though, Zach.
Judge Duffy, yeah. And I actually reached out to her today, and we were talking by text. I had a case 2 years ago where this woman, young girl, came into my office.
Yeah.
She was, she couldn't have been, I forget how old she was, but she had a major, major, major problem. One that I've never seen before. I mean, it was drugs, alcohol. And I know Judge Duffy had her a while back because I was looking up her case.
Yeah.
Anyway, if it wasn't for Judge Duffy, and I really do mean this,
yeah.
I don't know where this girl would be today because she allowed me to do the case the way I wanted to do it. And we basically continued her case for a year almost, which was a long time to allow her to do inpatient treatment,
yep.
Which she did.
Wow.
That's the key.
And
man.
We just went to court yesterday at the Court of Common Pleas, and we went in front of the judge. Her family was there. And she walked out with no jail time at all.
Great.
Because
wow.
of what she did
because
before
judge-
going into court. And I reached out to thank Judge Duffy because a lot, I would say not just most judges would not do that.
Yeah, well, yeah. She gets it.
She does get it.
She totally
awesome.
Gets it.
She's awesome. Yep.
Yeah.
And I think you need an addictions counselor in the next office.
You do.
Well, I mean, I could work for you, Zach, just right next door. You just send them
right
next
there.
Door, you know, when they come in for court.
He don't come cheap, though.
That's fine. We'll charge more.
Hey, Jeff Finkelstein, what's doing, buddy?
I heard him say something's up. Did you hear anything?
No. Pete Smith.
Pete Smith.
Hey, I hope he wins counsel soon.
Absolutely. You know, you could tell Pete. Really, really. It's
yeah.
from the heart. He wants to make changes.
Yeah.
He wants to clean up
I
the
like
neighborhood.
I disagree with him a couple of things, but yeah. you know, it's okay to disagree.
Absolutely. He said it last week. We're all on the same team. We're
but
just looking at it from different angles.
He's personally in it, so he totally gets it. Okay, a couple questions. Okay, what happens? I get pulled over by state police and I refuse breathalyzer. What happens at that point?
So if you refuse the breathalyzer, if they give you one of those small portable breath machines on the side of the road, you're fine. You can refuse that all day.
Yeah.
If they take you back to the police station.
Why would they take you back to the police station? They found something else in the car?
Well, no, to get a breath machine. Because the portable breath test on the side of the road, when I say it's fine, if you, that's not admissible in any court. They're not calibrated.
Oh,
so
okay.
Usually what happens is they take you to a hospital to give blood, or they take you back to a police station to give a breath test. If you refuse that under the implied consent law, you're going to get a letter from PennDOT in about 30 to 45 days stating that your license is now suspended for 1 year just for the refusal.
Even for blood?
Even if you go and beat your DUI case in court, you still refuse. That's a civil consequence. You're still going to lose it for a year.
Even though you win what you did previously, you're screwed.
That's civil. In fact, it's a completely separate court. It doesn't even go to the criminal court. It's if you refuse, it's a 1 year suspension. If you have multiple ones, it could be an 18-month suspension.
Can they get a breath or thing to breathe into?
The new law allows you to put an ignition interlock device in your car 6 months into your 1 year suspension, which is new. And you again have to keep it in for 1 year. Now that's a huge moneymaker for these companies. A lot of these people cannot afford to put this device in their car.
Can I tell you what it cost? I know exactly what it cost. It's about $250 to put it in, and it's $95 a month unless you have a lockout. Unless you either have been drinking or you had alcohol on your hands cleaning yourself. And then you're talking about another maybe $180 a month. So guess what? For a year, it can easily be $1,500 to $1,700.
Easily. I was going to say about $1,500.
Yeah.
And I had a client that couldn't afford it in Chester County.
Jeez.
And guess what? He got another DUI. But if it would have been in his car, the argument is maybe he wouldn't have received it. But you also get hit with it's a misdemeanor to drive without that in your car if it's supposed to be in your car. So they hit you with that.
All right, here's a question for you. I went through this with Intoxilock. You're leasing a car, okay? The lease is up 2 years, but your Intoxilock, it's going to carry over 6 more months after you're supposed to turn your car in. You can't do that. You can't turn the car in.
They won't let you turn it in and put it in another car?
Yeah.
They will let
you? No, she said you wouldn't.
Okay, I never had that situation come up.
It seems absurd.
It does seem absurd. I mean, it's crazy.
What if you crash the car? What if you move away?
And you're not covered at all.
Right.
Yeah, I've never had that situation, but it's a mess.
And it's a mess,
you hit it right on the nail. You have to have contacts at PennDOT or some of these places that put them in, or else you get nowhere. You just keep spinning your wheels.
And I remember trying to call PennDOT back in the day, and I thought I could just call them up and straighten this out, and they said, no, you have to go through the courts. No. Quick question. I've heard differing things on this. Somebody gets pulled over. They're drunk. Do they take the field sobriety test?
I say absolutely not. You know, here's the thing. Once you get pulled over for a DUI and they have you do the field sobriety test, which I'm an instructor for, so I can tell you a lot of these are they're only about, like they say, 60% reliable at predicting someone to be under the influence. They're taking you in no matter what. So why give them more evidence against you? I've never had a case really where someone's doing the field sobriety test and the officer says, he passed him with flying colors. You know, he did great. So, if you don't, listen, you're going to go in anyway. If you don't do the field sobriety test, it's less evidence. Less evidence that the Commonwealth can use against you. Same thing with the portable breath test. You don't have to take that breath test. They can't use it against you. Now, if someone gets pulled over and they know they've had nothing in their system whatsoever, maybe the cop pulled them over because, they saw them swerving a little. They're coming from a wedding, but, I would say then go ahead, take it, because guess what? They're going to charge you with the DUI. You should be – the problem is these field sobriety tests, I could give them to you right now. They're not – most people can't pass them sober.
Oh, mine was ridiculous.
You stand with your eyes closed for 30 seconds with one leg in the air.
They told me to say the alphabet backwards from U to E or something, and I didn't get anywhere on this.
I had a case once, and I'll just say this, but I had a case once in Bucks or Chester County where the officer, or it was a trooper, he testified at the preliminary hearing. I did the field sobriety test, and the minute he got out of the car, he was swaying back and forth. Immediately I knew that something was up there. So I had the officer, and I've only done this once, it worked out here. The officer actually testified to what test he gave. When I said to the officer, can you demonstrate the nine-step walk and turn? He said, sure, I'll tell you what I did. He actually came off the witness stand. He did the nine-step walk and turn. When he turned around, and I noticed stuff like this in court, he took his left hand.
And braced himself?
And he pushed himself on the witness stand. And then I just let him go. And I just asked him one question. And I said, officer, are you under the influence of anything today? That's what I asked him. And the prosecutor, and he goes, the objection. I said, I'm just asking because according to the officer's testimony, he was losing his balance and he used his left hand to support himself. So I'm just going by what they said. And I got some eye rolls.
Yeah.
But that's what you get on, and I see these videos. I get videos for all these cases. Some of my clients that do these field sobriety tests, they do them pretty well. The field sobriety tests that are usually done on the road are on the side of the road.
Absolutely.
With
lights in your face.
With the lights going and you're staring at them. It's tough. So that's why I'm saying most people, if you tell them to do it sober, some people will have trouble doing it sober.
Yeah. Let's talk about some penalties.
You got it.
First time you're pulled over and you're intoxicated, what happens?
So the first time you're pulled over and you're intoxicated and you have no criminal record whatsoever, Pennsylvania has a...
forget that. Right?
Well, here's the thing. If you have no criminal record, Pennsylvania does have a program called ARD, which stands for Accelerated Rehabilitative Disposition.
I had it three times.
You had it three times?
Out of Philadelphia, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's
really?
Rare.
Three times?
Yeah. That's rare. So ARD, in and of itself, is a first-time offender program. You can get it more than once. I've seen it, but a lot of times the convictions have to be pretty far apart. But basically what it is, it's a slap on the wrist. It's basically you do certain things. You do some community service. They do suspend your license for a month or two. You avoid jail time. You avoid the conviction.
Okay, month or two, right? Okay, the first time?
For a license suspension is a month or two for ARD. And now, as it's the same thing, they just let you do it. You can if you want. It's not mandatory now for ARD. You can choose to put the interlock in your car for the suspensions for ARD. And some people choose to do that. Unlike a regular conviction, that is not mandatory.
So the district attorney's office determines if you're eligible for ARD, correct?
Correct. Okay. So you apply through them.
So if they determine you're eligible because you have no baggage in the back, you could lose your license for about 2 months. If they determine you are not eligible for ARD for whatever reasons, it's a year?
It's a year if you're convicted of the DUI. And you can be denied ARD for – nowadays they're getting tougher with ARD. For instance, some counties are saying any accident whatsoever, you're not getting ARD. So that's because a lot of these people are crashing their cars into other cars, telephone poles, you name it.
Sure.
It sounds funny, but it's not funny.
Here's the question.
No.
Here, I'll ask you a question because I get this a lot. People are hitting Pico telephone poles all the time. How much do you think one of those poles costs? Because I get the restitution order.
$3,500.
$3,500?
Yep.
What is your guess, Mark?
$4,000.
All right. How about this? On the low end, $14,000.
What?
To $17,000 to put one of these new telephone poles in. I swear.
Oh, my gosh.
So I always get the call from the DA. Are they going to be able to pay this restitution? Now, a lot of times, depending on the insurance, they'll cover it. But that's how much it is.
I mean, the cost. Because there's also, you got to take classes, the cost just built up and up. $14,000 they have to pay for a telephone. It's just a piece of wood, right?
They can't drive because they can't work because they can't get anywhere. But they, on a side note, they just changed another law, which you may have heard about, which is, for years, if you're found with marijuana or any drug, a possession on you, they just changed that law in April of this year that you no longer lose your license anymore, which is a good thing.
Well, that's a good thing.
This was in April of this year. Before, if they charged you with possession of small amount of marijuana or anything, you lost your license. And it didn't make any sense. It didn't feel like that fit the crime.
Yeah. All right, we got to take another break, our last break. Clean It Sober. This is a great discussion. I'm getting a lot of great information from Attorney
Absolutely.
Zachary
Thankfully,
Cooper.
Thankfully, we don't need it anymore.
No
Hopefully
more.
Hopefully in
no
the
more.
Future. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Recovery Centers of America at Devon is proud to offer inpatient, outpatient, and detoxification services for those struggling with drug and alcohol addiction. We're proud to be in network with Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna, Magellan, and AmeriHealth, making the world's finest addiction treatment both affordable and accessible. Call 1-800-RECOVERY today to learn more. Recovery Centers of America at Devon admits patients into our secure, world-class addiction treatment campus 24 hours, 7 days a week, and can provide complimentary transportation from your location to our campus within 3 hours.
Hi, this is Governor Tom Wolf. Thousands of families across Pennsylvania have been affected by the opioid epidemic. Together, we can fight this disease. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, help is available. Visit pa.gov/opioids for resources and information on substance abuse. For treatment options, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Brought to you by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Tom Wolf, Governor. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Hi, Grandma. Can Nina come over for dinner?
Sure. I've been meaning to ask you, what would happen if someone offered you a drink?
Grandma?
If anyone ever does, I want you to say, no, I have too much respect for my family and I don't want to get in trouble.
I promise, Grandma.
They really do hear you. For tips on what to say, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. That's underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. This message brought to you by SAMHSA and this station.
Hi, this is Brett Butler. You're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, this is Mark Stein from Vanilla Fudge, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
You know, I wanted to go to rehab.
Yeah? I couldn't see. I don't know, Gary. Really?
I was looking to relax.
You were looking to relax. And you went, what was it called?
I went to the Strecker program at the Institute of Pennsylvania Hospital.
Strecker.
Indoor
Strecker
pool,
Island.
Outdoor pool. Food was incredible.
Wow. I could see.
I was on welfare.
It. Really?
I got on there on welfare. I was here for 3 months.
Wow. I still love hearing the story about the FBI agent showing up at your door. But anyway, that's for another day.
It was a nice day. It was a nice day.
It was a great day.
It was a great day. Okay, we're back with Zach Cooper. You get caught once, you DUI. Twice, three times you said now it's a felony in Pennsylvania.
So now it's a felony. I mean...
What does that mean?
I'll say this. You can get by if it's your first offense with ARD and things will you can move on with your life. Yeah. Once you get into a second offense DUI and a third offense DUI, the penalties are escalating.
Exponentially. So,
I mean, a second offense DUI with any drugs in your system at all is a mandatory 90 days in jail. 90 days up to 5 years.
Is there a spread? Let's say I had the first one 12 years ago, and now I had another one 12 years later. Does that determine?
That does. So basically, the look-back period in Pennsylvania is 10 years.
Okay.
So if you have a DUI 13 years ago and you get another one now, then it's going to be considered your first offense.
Got it.
Even with multiple DUIs 13 years ago?
Correct. Now, having said that, if you have multiple DUIs 13 years ago, even though this is considered a first offense, the DA's offices, they're smart. They're not going to ask for the mandatory minimum for a first offense DUI. So you could be looking, a mandatory minimum is 72 hours for a first offense. If you don't get ARD, they can sentence you up to 6 months in jail. So penalty-wise, under the law, it's a first offense, but they could ask for more if you have multiple over 10 years old. But a second offense, if it is a second offense, it's 90 days. Any drugs in your system for a third offense, mandatory state prison time, 1 year.
Oh, state prison.
State prison, 1 year.
Can you beat that at all? Or
we have. It depends on, every case is different. So it really all depends on, you know, it starts from the very beginning. The first question I ask is, why were you stopped? Because if there's basis for the cop to stop you, then okay. But if there's not basis, let's say the person was driving straight as an arrow, you know, maybe we can file a suppression motion to suppress the stop. It really all depends. But yeah, it's a 1 year state prison sentence. There are beginning to be some programs to help with that. For instance, Montgomery County will allow people to go into the drug court program.
Yeah, I know.
It's
limited seating, basically.
It's very limited.
I think there's 400 seats.
It's very limited. And I tell people up front, it's very intense.
Oh, yes.
It sure is.
I've had people go through it, and they couldn't hack it. So it's very intense. And I tell people, this is what you're... People think it's like, oh, I'll do drug court. I can avoid jail time. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, no, it's not like that.
Yeah.
It takes up a lot of your time.
You know, the interesting thing, and this is very obvious, you run somebody over on the street, and you have nothing in your system. It's basically, what, an accident or involuntary? As soon as you put that component of something in your body, it's a whole different game.
You're right.
I mean, totally.
Completely. You are correct. Because that changes everything. It changes everything. And, you know, some people get it. You know, some people, the minute they get pulled over for DUI and if they have any drugs in their system, the next day they're in rehab. They're calling rehab after work. They're calling different places.
Yeah.
They're doing outpatient, inpatient. And guess what? The judges love that. Because when I go in with these letters from the outpatient facilities and inpatient facilities, it looks like to the judge, this person gets it. And they're doing stuff to make to get better.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Is it, in the grand scheme of things, is it just human nature that you want to change your mindset?
Yeah, it's been human nature ever since forever.
All the way back.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been human nature. When you look back at kind of the history of drug abuse, it's gone all the way back.
People want to feel good. They want to escape.
Yeah, and deal with stress. Life can be stressful, and you know, people are looking for an out from that.
Well, if you're stressed, now you can get medical marijuana in Pennsylvania.
I guess so, Gary. Better thing would be to start exercising more.
Or going to therapy.
Go fishing.
Maybe going to therapy might help out. All right, so Zach, what's the cost? What does it cost in general terms? I'm not saying your fees.
That's okay.
What does it cost in general terms to defend somebody?
So again, it's going to depend on if it's a first offense DUI.
Yeah.
I would say you're looking at anywhere between $2,500 and $3,500 to defend a first offense DUI, including whether that's ARD. There's multiple court hearings that we have to go to.
Right.
And that goes up. If it's a second offense, a third offense, it could, you know, could go up to $7,500, depending on what they want. Some of these cases go to trial. You know, if they want an expert, which I've dealt with before, that's going to be on them. You know, we're not paying for the expert, so they'd have to bring in an expert. And I have that all the time. I have different experts that come in to talk about alcohol. I had a lady that I was just representing, and she said part of the reason she got into an accident was because she lost her hearing. So we had an audiologist, you know, we had to have an expert come in about that and write a whole report. And people pay for that to do everything or anything they can to mitigate what the penalties are going to be.
Can you, you know, it seems also almost unfair. So many people can't afford so many things, so they don't get the right legal defense. So if one is appointed to you, are there good?
I will say this, and that's an awesome point you brought up, because you know, you always hear about, oh well, certain people have better attorneys than others, and that's why they get the results that they get. For I can only speak for Montgomery County.
Yeah.
Some of my good friends are public defenders in Montgomery County, right? And they are awesome. So I tell people on the phone, if you cannot afford me, go to the public defender's office, because guess what? They're awesome in Montgomery County. They know what they're doing.
Okay.
And people always say, and it's not true, I don't want a public defender. I want a real attorney. They are real attorneys.
Right. I know. That's the perception.
And that's the perception. Yeah. And I say to them, go to a public defender, because you do not want to walk into court by yourself.
Can you represent yourself?
Yeah. I used
but
to
you,
love.
But you'd have a fool for a client.
I used to love when I was a prosecutor and prosecuting
them.
A case, and the guy comes in like, you know, my cousin Vinny, and he's going to represent himself.
Does the judge feel a little feel for something like that?
Or? They do, and you know, at certain things are, you know, let go, because you know they don't know the proper procedure for court and how to ask the proper questions.
Right.
But the judge will tell them if they do that you're being held to the same standard as if you had an attorney.
I tried it.
Did you try?
Well, I tried. I had a DUI in New York State at DWAI.
Right.
And on the day I got my darn license back, I hadn't told my parents about it the whole bit. Got suspended in Pennsylvania for a year due to reciprocity. This is way back in the 90s. And so I tried. I was like, I didn't have any money. So I tried to file an appeal. And I thought, so I went to Norristown, I did the whole thing, and then I thought I could drive. But somehow I didn't file all the paperwork, and I ended up getting
jammed up for driving without a, with a suspended license. And thank God it was Patricia Zaffirano. Yes. I showed up in a suit with my brother in a suit, and she let me go. Because she believed me, because it was true. I thought I didn't file all the paperwork correctly.
Yeah, she's a good... You know what? So, you know, when you're at the preliminary hearings at the district courts or even at the Court of Common Pleas, all the judges are different. You know what I mean? So you have to know who you're in front of, what they will do, what they won't do. You know, they're not going to just give you the kitchen sink. But also, you got to remember, we're also dealing with the officers. All these officers are different. Yeah. Some of them don't want to do anything. They don't want to help your clients. They don't want to do anything whatsoever.
Yeah.
And when you're dealing with that, it's tough because the judge isn't going to just jump in. I mean, you have to have the officer. You have to show the officer that your client's doing something to get better. So I tell my clients to do that all the time.
It's a wicked system to get involved in. Oh. You know that. I know that.
Oh.
It's not fun.
It is not
exhausting, expensive. And you know, on a positive note, it saves lives because people aren't out there driving drunk nearly as much.
Yeah, in defense of Intoxiloc, it is good for, you know, for people. It checks them, you know.
I will say this, though. I've gotten, I can't tell you how many letters, they're all sort of similar, where parents or clients of mine have actually said the best thing that happened to me was getting that DUI. They've said that to me because they realized, because it was because of the DUI that they got help, that they went to, whether it's an outpatient facility or an inpatient facility. And even after the DUI, I have clients that still text me or their parents text me because they're still following up with these outpatient facilities because they realize that this is a problem they have.
Yeah, that's the success stories. But
right. Yeah, I never hear.
We got to wrap it up. We're getting all these signals. We got to wrap it. First of all, before we go, hey, Judy Kellum. Hey, Bruno Fabiani. Hey, it was a great show.
Great show.
So what are you doing? You're going to camp this weekend, right?
I got to go to camp to visit my daughter. Yeah. I know you're going out to dinner with my dad if he's listening.
That's right.
So he's listening. He's not going to have much for dinner, Gary. I'm telling you. Right now.
I'll eat it, okay? Are you fishing or what?
I'm moving on a 100-degree day tomorrow and a 100-degree day Sunday. I'm thrilled.
We're getting a signal.
Yeah.
We're done.
We're done.
We're out of here. We're evicted. Out of here. We're out of here. Have a great weekend, everybody. Clean and Sober Radio.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
System tries to bring you down.